You are listening to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast, focusing on the changing nature of retirement today and the non-financial aspects of a successful retirement transition. Join host Joe Casey and learn from leading experts in the field and the stories of people who created interesting second acts as they share practical ideas and tips to create your own. Check out our website at retirementwisdom.com, where you can download our newsletter and other resources to learn more about how coaching can help you. The best way to support this podcast is to head over to Apple Podcasts and post a rating and a comment. It's easy and it's free. Join our conversations and get wiser about your retirement.
Welcome to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Casey, and I'll be joined shortly by frequent co-host Dennis Wissman. If you're planning for retirement, it's important to recognize that without your health, you won't be able to enjoy your wealth. Our guest today is Dr. Glenn Robison, who's written a book about that topic. His book is Healthy Dad, Sick Dad, where he shares his personal journey with two very similar fathers who ended up in dramatically different retirements. Dr. Robison is a physician and surgeon who's board certified in primary care as well as pediatric medicine. Dr. Robison is a Jin-Shin Jitsu practitioner and a certified myopractor, training and releasing the deep muscle tensions that lie at the root of our symptoms and ailments. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
So tell us about the story of your two dads.
Well, the two dads, you got a healthy dad and you got a sick dad. I'll start off with my sick dad, who is actually my biological father, who I observed an awful lot throughout my childhood and throughout my life. He was a farmer. He just worked hard, supported his family, but a man of very few words. He, to get a question in, to ask him my curiosity questions, it was in a way difficult, but I spent most of my time observing him. He's an incredible man, very knowledgeable. The guy was very gifted. But towards his later years, when he actually retired to his recliner, he never got out of the recliner. So he actually passed away when I was finishing the book. My healthy dad was introduced to me when I was shortly out of my residency, and I was in private practice, and I had tremendous back pain, and I didn't want any form of surgery, so I explored other alternatives, and I was introduced to this man that was able to help me, and he got me out of pain significantly to the point where it hasn't really bothered me at all. And I was so impressed with what he did for me and what he did for my daughter. And I write about that in the book, that I had to learn what he was living, what he was teaching, what he was doing to other people. And so I coined the phrase healthy dad because he is my mentor, but he is the person that I emulate. He's retired, but he works. He can outwork me. I mean, the guy is incredible. He doesn't take any medication. He has really preserved his energy. He has ate right his entire life. And the guy, you know, he's in his 70s, but he looks like he's in his 40s. So incredible man.
So what are the key lessons that you think you learned from each of the two dads?
I would say, you know, with my sick dad, the main one is that observing. I had to observe, and there's nothing wrong with that because that's a key element for learning. But what I observed is that what not to do with my health. And so that's a sad thing to say, but I do not want to be like my biological father, my sick dad, when I go to retire. I want to enjoy life. I want to have that happiness, that joy. And should I ever retire, when they say when you love what you do, it's not work. So I don't plan on retiring, so because I love what I do. As far as the lessons from my healthy dad, there's multiple. I mean, the whole book is filled with them. But if there's one main one, and I'll talk, I have four listed here. There's one that says, chemistry is an assault on biology. That's a bullet point principle he taught me. Chemistry is the chemicals we take into our body. The biology is our cells. So whatever we take into our body is actually having an effect on ourself, our body. And then know who you are. If you go through life and never know who you are, that purpose why you're here, to me, it's a tragedy because everybody here on this earth has a purpose. Everybody has a they offer something, and you really have to know who you are. And the other principle is three main energies that are found in the body. I call them the nutrient chi, the prana chi, or the air chi, or the inherent chi. Two of them are external and one's internal. So the nutrient chi and the prana chi you get on a daily basis, but that inherent chi or the kidney chi they would refer to, he would always talk about, he says you only get a cup of that your entire life. And so with this podcast and planning to retire and have the enjoyment of retirement, how many of us have that full cup of kidney chi, that inherent chi, when we go to retire? A lot of it is spent in our youth, in our 20s and 30s. We go on willpower. We go on determination. And so we use up a lot of that kidney chi. And then we don't eat the proper foods. We don't eat right. And so the saying is, the nutrient chi sponsors the inherent chi. So whatever you're eating actually has a direct effect on your inherent chi. And then the other one that really impressed me with my healthy dad is that he always got me to ask questions. And in order to expand your knowledge, you have to ask questions. And that's why I always ask a question at the end of each chapter of the book. I pose a question. And so if you're not asking questions, you're really not participating and taking an active role in expanding your knowledge. So I have taken that element and hopefully tried to install that in other people that I work with, is you get them to ask questions, because if you don't ask, you don't tell, and you don't get the answers, then you're missing out on a great opportunity.
You brought up something interesting when you were speaking about purpose. Do you feel that purpose is a precursor, or it can lead to people better taking care of themselves?
Absolutely. Absolutely. To know yourself, know who you are, is a big key element. And, you know, not to bring religion into the discussion, but in the Christian world, they say the two great commandments are to love God and then love your neighbor. But I think one of the key elements at the end of that, to love your neighbor, is that last part of that sentence, love your neighbor as thyself. So if you don't know who you are, how can you love yourself and how can you love others and make a difference in this world? So when you're searching and going through life and you're in occupation and you're going to work and school, whatever it is, if you don't find that burning passion that gets you out of bed, then I think there's a missed opportunity. And I think there's a key element is knowing who you are. What is that purpose you have here? And there could be some lengthy discussions on this one and going into the book. And so I'll just leave it at that. But yes, I agree with you. It has a major purpose.
Well said. Thank you.
So, Glenn, retiring offers a great opportunity to change our lifestyles, to make some lifestyle modifications, from ranging from small tweaks to complete lifestyle redesign. Talk a little bit about how you believe lifestyle really impacts health.
Well, there's a saying, it's called, you can't remedy a lifestyle. And I see this quite often in my medical practice. People will come in and they want to continue what they're doing, but they don't want to change, especially in my diabetic population. They have a pill they can pop and they can maintain their blood sugars. But wouldn't it be easy? Wouldn't it be more effective on an individual that can actually change the lifestyle and have a lifestyle of living it instead of die it? And so when you have this lifestyle of that changes from day to day and from the food you eat, and we'll talk more about this, but it's so important. So the phrase, you can't remedy a lifestyle, there's not a magical pill out there that's going to you take and keep you going while trying to maintain this lifestyle that you currently have of how you eat, how you sleep, how you socialize and everything. There is a consequence to lack of sleep. There's a consequence of lack of good nutrition. There's a consequence of lack of good air we breathe. And so you can't remedy a lifestyle. Just know that.
Fair enough. And so what do you think are the most important aspects of lifestyle that you think people should take a good hard look at and perhaps make some changes in?
So I mentioned a couple of them. Chemistry is installed on biology. That is an important factor. I mean, it's just, what's the quality of foods are you eating? A classic example of this is that I think one of the most favorite and common diets out there is a keto diet. And a lot of my patients are on it and they feel great and they feel good. But in a discussion with them, I always ask them with their diet, what's the quality of the fruits and vegetables or the proteins are they eating? And very seldom do I hear that they'll eat grass-fed beef, free-range chicken, wild-caught salmon, or fish. They don't really pay attention to if the vegetables are organic. And so I will get into a discussion that when we eat the quality of foods, then our body is able to, one, produce a better, good bacteria in our intestinal lining, and we are able to keep our immune system up. And so quality of the food is so pertinent. The other one is that, again, the nutrient chi sponsors the immune chi. And so if we are not eating properly and we, let's say, you come off an intermittent fast and you're hungry, you go grab that pizza, well, that's probably not the best thing to do because the one is the breads is probably going to be a little harder to digest in your system than you would, say, a good soup, chicken soup that is more grounding, it's more nutritional to you at that time. So those key elements of the nutrient chi and the chemistry and salt on biology is so pertinent because everybody out there is dieting, but they're just really not paying attention to the quality of the foods that they're eating.
So you mentioned before that some of your patients are resistant to change. What have you learned about what's most effective in helping people change?
Well, you got to get them to ask the question because I observe my patients pretty extensively. Once they start asking questions, man, my floodgates go open and I will give them all the information that they're asking for. But if a patient sits in the chair and they just want to get out of pain and they're gone, then, you know, that's what I do. But if they really want to take hold of their life and really plan for retirement, they just somehow have to get asking questions. So how do I engage in that? Sometimes I will bring up questions or a question for them to get them thinking in something different. Like for a diabetic, I would say there are ways that you can lower your hemoglobin A1C down by 1 to 2 points within a month. And they're like, really? I go, yeah, here are 5 basic things that you can do. Green beans, blueberries, fresh ginger. And I give them a list of things. And then so they start to engage into a discussion. And once they start to see the benefits of what I'm telling them, then the questions flow.
You think part of the challenge here is, at least it appears to me, that, you know, medicine today is a pill makes a quick fix, you know, or supposed to, as opposed to the other side of this that you just described, is harder work. It takes a little bit of longer time, but perhaps is more sustaining over a course of a lifetime. So, you know, I'd like to ask you, if you made the change, so you started asking yourself these questions, and, you know, perhaps being an example for others, what made you start to want to ask those questions?
Right out of my residency, and probably about my first year in practice, I was on the go, go, go. I was trying to pay off the student loans. I was starting a family. I was trying to pay down the debt. And so I was running on willpower. I was running on adrenaline. And so I gravitated to the social things of life of quick energy, sugar, food type things. And over a course of time, it really started to take a toll on me. And so when I couldn't get out of bed because my back was hurting so bad, and I realized, man, I, being young in practice, I didn't have any health insurance, nothing. I was like, what do I do? And surgery wasn't an answer for me. I didn't want to get cut on. I know my sick dad, he had back surgery. And so that was another element I didn't want to follow down his road. So I was directed to my healthy dad. And I remember when he worked on me and he made a comment. He says, man, you're like a dense bag of potatoes. You're so stiff that in order to really fully get you to where you need to be, you're going to have to change what you eat. And that didn't make sense to me. I says, well, I'm just here for my back. I just need to get my back fixed. But over the course of a couple of years and him talking to me and telling me that you really have to change what you eat. And then when my little girl, she just all of a sudden stopped eating one day and she was having a lot of pain when she ate. And I took her from various doctors to see what was going on. I couldn't get an answer. So I called up my healthy dad and said, hey, this is what's going on with my little girl. Can you help her? And he says, bring her down. So I took her down and I was sitting there observing him and what he was doing and watching. And, you know, he was working on her. And then all of a sudden I heard these gurgling sounds in her body and she stands up and says, Daddy, I'm hungry. Can I eat something? And that was a turning point. It happened to be my little girl that changed me. Not that my body was, I was attacking my own body with the poor choices of food. And so I asked him, I says, hey, whatever you did, can you teach me? He says, yes. And so I changed my diet. That was the first thing. And the first 3 years of instruction and him mentoring me was strictly nutrition. And so I made the change. What a difference has it made. And so the ability to work on somebody and to get the energy flowing through the joints and throughout the body makes a world of difference just by what you eat.
Thank you for sharing that. No, so complete mindset shift based on a personal experience. Not everybody, unfortunately, or fortunately, has that happened. And it's a good to scare in a little bit, right? And you paid attention. I appreciate you sharing.
Right. Yeah. Wake up call.
Thank you.
So since that wake up call, what would you say the main behavioral changes you've made? For example, if you take us through a typical day before and a typical day now, what's different?
So what's different? Again, it goes back to the quality of foods. I strictly eat organic. And then determining what I eat, here's an interesting concept that's not being talked about. I eat according to my body temperature. So your body is at 98.6. That's the normal body temperature. If it falls below that, then your body is not able to produce the good bacteria in your intestinal lining to keep your immune system up. So people get weak and tired and fatigued. And so that happened to me. So each day I get up, am I hot or am I cold? So if I'm hot, I'm going to eat something cold. And if I'm cold, I'm going to eat something warming. And I listen to my body temperature. That's how I gauge what I eat for the day. And so if somebody's living in New York, it's going to be way different from somebody living in Arizona, or somebody living in Alaska is going to be different from somebody living down in the equator area. So, but you listen to your body temperature, and that kind of dictates to what foods you gravitate to. Those two elements. Now, a third element I'll just throw out there is that I've learned how to engage my emotions, to hold them at check, meaning that anger, grief, frustration, resentment, all these things have a direct effect on our health. Grief and worry is directly related to diabetes. And so I could tell you a story right there within that self that of an experience I had, but that with worry and grief, that can elevate your blood sugars. And so I've been more attuned to the emotions and just be more trusting, be more forgiving, be more loving, and not take in these harsh emotional elements that I've incorporated into my life.
So in the book, you mentioned yin and yang foods. What's the right balance?
So in the yin-yang elements, you have, there's a scale. And so if you look at the yin side, is the weak, tired, cold side. It's where most of the people are today. They have a low immune system. So there are certain categories that fall into that. So if you have the yin foods, a negative one is rooted vegetables. Negative two is stock vegetables. Then you can move down the scale. You know, negative four is berries. And you go down to a negative eight is water. Negative nine is alcohol. And negative 10 is chemicals. And then zero is the balance. But zero is actually mother's milk, mother's breast milk. But we don't have that anymore in adult stage. So that's the purest form. We're always trying to get to that zero or to that medium of balance. But then you have the yang side, and plus one are your beans, nuts, seeds, yogurt. You know, plus two is grains. Say a plus five is chicken, fowl. And you jump down to a plus 10 is salt. And so how does this work? In the book, I encourage people that they want to be between a negative four and a plus four. Somewhere in there is usually a good balance of life. And so when I'm determining what I'm going to eat for the day, how's my body temperature? Usually it's on the lower side, so the yin side. So I'm going to gravitate to something more yang. And so I'm looking at this scale. And I'm like, okay, you know, this morning I woke up and I had a bowl of chicken soup for breakfast. Sounds kind of interesting, but that's what I felt like. So that's what I had this morning. And so it's something that will boost me up out of the yin side. And so it gives me that balance. And it's a very intriguing subject matter, but if I think one follows it, it's a game changer for their health, because it's not about dieting. It's about this lifestyle. It's about living it. And the yin-yang duality, the yin-yang thing of life determines what you eat. And as you eat healthy and as you listen to your body, man, it will definitely keep you on the right course and keep you healthy.
Glenn, can people train themselves to crave foods that are better for us?
I think so. I do. I did it. A lot of times I write about, you know, we eat to survive, socialize, or thrive. And when we're eating to survive, we gravitate to the placations of life, or the things that makes us feel good, or the sweets, the sugars, the muffins, the breads, so which probably are not the really best things for you in certain circumstance. But then we go into the social things of life. We go out and eat with our friends, family, and we're not even really paying attention to what we're eating. Now, what I have found when we're eating to thrive, I am more particular in choosing what to eat when I go out to eat. I'm asking questions. I'm very more particular to when I cook my foods at home, what to eat. And so I have gravitated to, yes, definitely the brown rice and the salmon. That's one of my favorite meals. I've gravitated more towards chicken soup and vegetables in there. I had an interesting subject matter that when I was in school, I talk about in the book that the lunch lady, you know, they gave out peas, and I didn't like peas. And she said, and I told the lady, I says, I eat cooked peas. Well, the next day she had a bowl of non-cooked peas, and I couldn't outsmart the lunch lady. So I had to eat it. But it's just factors that, yes, I have gravitated, my palate has craved more quality foods. And so when I eat something that is out of favor for me, I know it, and I usually pay for it later. But no, it's an excellent question, but it's possible, yes.
That's encouraging. And tonight, for the record, I'm having salmon with brown rice and some broccoli. So there you go.
Excellent, excellent.
And I had vegetable stir fry for lunch.
Oh.
Fruit and Greek yogurt smoothie for breakfast. But I'm intrigued by this body temperature part that you raise. And I'm curious about how much variability do you experience in your body temperature throughout a year?
Well, I mean, this past week hit me hard. I mean, even myself, doing everything my healthy dad has taught me, I was living on adrenaline and willpower this past week, coming off a vacation, coming back and seeing all the patients that I did. I got a little under the weather. And so it's not COVID. It was just a basically common cold that my body fatigued, and it says time out. So within a couple of days, proper rest and that chicken soup, man, I'm back going again. So it is so important. There is a discussion in the book that talks about a daily detox mix, that where I spell out the proper elements that are so needed in growing good bacteria. And one is maintaining the proper pH, maintaining the good sugars you need to grow the good bacteria. And that's why I say brown rice. Organic brown rice is a key element. Because if you're in some of these diets that have no sugar, how are you going to grow your good bacteria in your intestinal lining? Well, you don't. And so there are just key components that you need to grow the good bacteria. And when you do that, man, you protect that inherent chi, you have life, you have just energy, and you're able to do things more and more, and you'll see yourself less sick. And so you're more productive.
I love one of the lines in your book. It says, in nature, when things are in balance, there is no disease. That's powerful.
Correct. Absolutely. It is.
Yeah. It says a lot about the fact that our body's a chemistry set in some ways, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Good point. Yes.
So you mentioned earlier that you really get your patients asking questions. That's the key turning point for you, and to get them thinking. And you've got some interesting reflective questions in the book to prompt people to ask some of these questions for themselves about their health. What are a few questions that you'd share with people listening who would like to get started down this path?
The first question I'd ask is, how do you feel today? I mean, do you feel hot or do you feel cold? It's such a basic question and it throws them off. But the reason why I ask that question is that I want to know, are you yin or you're yang? Are you a heart attack waiting to happen, or are you so weak and tired that you're going to develop some other form of disease on the opposite end? And these are just subtle ways. And so that's one of the first questions I will ask an individual. Are you hot or are you cold? And that sparks an interest and they're like, well, why? You know, and then I'll explain. And so if I can engage them to start to think and say, well, wait a minute, okay, maybe I need to do it this way or look at it that way. And if the questions start coming, then it's Christmas to me. It's exciting. It's really what I get a really pleasure out of, you know, when I go to work, is people that really want to engage in their own health. Because in all honesty, we're at an age where you have to take on personal responsibility for your health. Yes, we have doctors, and yes, we have these things that can guide you and teach you and tell you which pills to take and for your illnesses, but at some point it's going to have to come down to you and wanting to participate in life instead of relying on somebody.
I think that's a great point. Underscore, in my opinion. Yeah. That's the way things are shifting today. You got to take, definitely, you know, see that now as getting older, just being in charge, keeping track of everything. And doctors aren't able to do that as much anymore for some reason, at least where I am.
Yeah, it's just easy to, here's a remedy. I mean, here's a pill, take this, and then that pill causes something else.
Yeah.
So here's another pill, and that pill causes something else. And it's so common to see my patients on 15 to 20 medications. I'm like, oh man, how do you survive? How do you really survive on such all these medications? It baffles my mind.
Oh, appreciate that.
Well, you've given us so much to think about. Appreciate all the information and your stories. And thanks for sharing your insights with us.
Oh, thank you so much for allowing me to be on your platform. And thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Glenn.
Well, we covered a lot of ground with Dr. Glenn Robison. Dennis, what jumped out to you as important points?
Very interesting information. And you know, I will mention also, and I'm sure you'll put it in the notes, Joe, that we've had great guests on this particular topic, so many, and this just adds to them. I think he was very interesting today. I'll point out a couple of things that struck me. I like the story of the two dads. The lessons I learned from this were, who do you know in your lives that you can seek to have conversations with? And you can learn things from bad habits, potentially, or bad role models. And you can also learn things from getting curious and talking to people who might think a little differently than you do. I think that's real important as we get older too. We've talked about that in the past on these podcasts, the fact that we're growing and we want to grow into our older age. And curiosity is an important thing. And seeking other opinions and thoughts is really, I think, important and can be very helpful. as Glenn pointed out today. The other thing is examine your own evidence. How do you feel? I like that. You asked them, what do you ask people about? What do you get them started? Ask them how they feel, and are they listening to their body? And boy, is that important. And sometimes we don't do that, and we kind of ignore things, or we let things go a little long, and then we look for the magic pill, and we went on to talk about that, but clearly that's happening a lot today. Our body is a chemistry set, and we seek to have balance with that chemistry set, with our body, I should say. We seek balance in various parts of our life. We're told that balancing and being able to balance ourselves so we don't fall is important. We use the phrase balance your portfolio in investing. Balance your life against your work. So why are we creating balance in our own bodies? It gave me something to think about. It's real important. And the last thing was the importance of purpose and knowing who you are. Because, you know, he mentioned, when we were talking about the lifestyle, and he mentioned, clearly we talked a lot about the health and the nutrition, but purpose was a part of it and understanding who you are. And that could actually give you the impetus to take better care of yourself if you have a higher purpose. So those are mine. Joe, what about you?
Well, it's a great point on lifestyle. And when you step back and think of it, lifestyle is a choice, and retirement is a great opportunity to perhaps make some different choices and design your new lifestyle. It's a great catalyst. The big thing that jumped out to me was his whole thing about eating the way you feel, and in particular, the body temperature. I now need to take a little bit more time to calculate these things before breakfast, but that's an easy adjustment to make. I think that was something I hadn't considered or heard about, and I thought it offered a lot of food for thought, no pun intended. So thank you for listening to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. You can find all of our episodes, there's over 110 of them now, where you can browse by season. We're in our fourth season, and there are a number of guests, as Dennis mentioned, on this topic and others that may be relevant to you. You can browse on our website, retirementwisdom.com, and we'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us today on the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. You can listen to all episodes of our podcast by subscribing to them on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher, or on our website at retirementwisdom.com.